As senior chaplain at Union Gospel Mission, I run the ministry for the street people, as well as the men's addictions program. And it's been pretty busy for the last 2 years. Because about 2 years ago, there was the explosion of crystal meth in the city. And because of that, we have more and more men coming into our recovery program. More and more of them are young. Right now, it's full at 26. And I would say that about at least half of them are under 30 years of age. But the encouraging thing is, at the mission, what we do is we try to introduce them to Jesus. We have two Bible study classes a day, and we encourage them to go to church. They have to go to church and then bring back a slip saying where they went and what the sermon was about. We try to give them as much Bible study as we can. We want to get the Word of God into them so that it can grow into a relationship with Christ. And right now we have four men in our recovery program, two who are nearing the end of the program. There's three phases to it. Each phase is about 2 months long, but the average stay is about a year, I'd say. It depends on how well they're doing. And so two of the guys, they're nearing the end of the program. They were addicted to crystal meth, and they haven't touched it in close to a year now, which is amazing. When it comes to recovery from crystal meth, I'd say only about 10% get recovery because it's so addictive. But these two men, they've gone a year without it, and it's because Jesus has satisfied their soul. That's the key to getting recovery, is having your soul satisfied with something that's stronger than the addiction. And the only thing that's stronger than that kind of addiction is the peace and hope and joy that's found in Jesus. And so the more we talk with them, to share the Word of God with them, give them counsel, pray with them as much as we can, the more we hope that seed will be planted and they'll give their life to Christ. But even more than those two guys who are nearing the end of the program, there's two other fellas who are interns. They've been with us for a year and a half. And they belong to the Manitoba Warriors, which is a very dangerous gang. They were addicted to crystal meth. They lived a very hard life. I saw a picture of one of these guys from 10 years ago, and it didn't even look like him. And the reason it didn't look like him is because he had so much anger in his eyes, so much anger on his face. And to see him today, it looks like a totally different person because he's smiling almost all the time. He works in reception. He helps us out with getting food for the mission, going to pick up the food. He even helps out with showing different groups around the mission. And I remember when he came into the program, he was a very broken young man when he came into the program because he had just come out of Stony Mountain Prison. And when he was there, the last month that he was there, he had just gotten out of solitary confinement because while he was in prison, he did some bad stuff. And he said that while he was in solitary confinement, he was sleeping and he had a dream. And in the dream, he had met Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "When you get out of here, you're going to go to a place where you can find me." And so he got out of prison, and he was wandering the streets. What do you do? A lot of guys, when they get out of Stony Mountain Prison, they wander the streets. What am I going to do now? Because they've lost everything. And so he went to the Main Street Project, and he heard about Union Gospel Mission. And he was on his way to Union Gospel Mission when he saw these gang members who wanted to get retribution on him. They figured he was going to talk, right? Because he didn't want to be a part of the gangs anymore. And they fired a shot at him, actually. And so he ran to a nearby building, and he was scared. He figured, they're going to kill me. What am I going to do? So he found a phone, and he called the mission. He called the executive director of the mission, who was Greg Stetsky at the time, and he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. These people are going to kill me. I just want peace. I don't want to live this any way anymore. I want peace. And so Greg Stetsky, he went to where he was, got him and brought him to the mission. And I remember when they brought him in, he was crying. He was a broken man. And he just said, I don't want this anymore. He said, if there's a way to have peace, he said, if Jesus can really give you peace, that's what I want. Whatever you can do to introduce me to him, do it. So we brought him into the program, and the Lord did amazing work on his life. Totally turned his life around. Today, he's a fellow missionary. We've hired him at the mission. He's a fellow missionary now. And it's because his soul was satisfied with what Jesus can do for your soul, which is bring healing. He had wounds deep down in his soul that only the creator of our soul can touch and heal. And that's what he did for Marcel. He totally healed him and gave him a whole new life. We have another young man in there. His name is Richard. And again, it was crystal meth. I remember when he came in, and it was hard to keep him at the mission for 3 months. He was so jittery. He wanted to run. He wanted to leave. But in God's grace, he stayed. And we have a three-strike program at the mission, right? If you miss class, and it's not a good reason, you get a strike. If you don't do your chore, and it's not a good reason, you get a strike, that kind of thing. And about 5 months into Richard being there, one of the guys in the program had done something wrong, and he was at strike two. And did something else wrong, and he's strike three. So we might have to take him out of the program. And I've been at the mission for 6 years, and I have never seen this happen. This is the only time this ever happened. Richard came to my office, and he said, you know what? Don't give that guy a strike. Give me the strike. He said, Jesus saved me from what I've done. I don't deserve it. So don't give him the strike. Give me the strike. And it was so amazing. I brought that guy in, told him what Richard had just said. That guy started crying. He couldn't believe somebody would do that for him. And now that guy, he's nearing the end of the program, and he wants to be an intern as well. And these are all guys who have been addicted to crystal meth, who come from very violent, dangerous backgrounds, and they're totally different now that they've met Christ, because they've had that healing. They've found the peace that surpasses all understanding. The Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 7, he says that with Christ we can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a supernatural peace that only he can give you. And they found that peace in the midst of everything they're going through. They lost their marriage. They lost their kids. They have a lot of heartache over that. They have a lot of heartache over things that they did. But they found this peace. And they were shocked that they were feeling this kind of peace that they hadn't ever felt before. And because of that, because they tasted enough of that peace in Christ, they didn't want to go back to the old lifestyle. They were just a totally changed, different person. And we're seeing that more and more. Even though it can be discouraging at time, the epidemic that's going on in the city with crystal meth, there are these victories that we're seeing at the mission. And it encourages us to keep going, seeing how Jesus is changing these lives. And then on the street level, with the street guests that come in, I'm able to see how people can come into the mission and they're totally broken by something. Maybe even they're in some kind of psychosis from drugs. But I've been able to see how praying with them and sharing the gospel with them changes them in a way that you wouldn't believe. I remember one story. This is when I was the evening chaplain. And I was sitting in my office and my door was open and the entranceway is right close to me. And this guy comes in. He didn't stop at reception. He comes in. He's carrying a duffel bag and he sits down next to me. And he doesn't look good. He's high on something. And he said to me, you know what? I took something earlier. I don't know what it was. But I feel like doing something bad to somebody. And he said, can you pray for me so that I won't? And so I said, sure. And I prayed for him with my eyes open. At the mission, you learn to pray with your eyes open sometimes. So I prayed for him, keeping my eyes on him. And he was shaking, right? And so I was done praying for him. He says, thank you. He says, I'm going to show you something. So he reaches into his duffel bag. And I thought, oh, boy, what's going to happen now? And he pulls out this long knife. And he's holding it. And he said, you know, I was going to do something to somebody today, but I'm not going to now. He said, I don't know who, I've never met this Jesus before, but this is the most peace I've had in about 6 months. So I'll leave it here. And he put the knife on my desk. And he got up and he walked out. You know? So once I got a hold of myself, when that was all done with, I went to the guy in reception. He was standing there, right? And he didn't know what to do. And he saw the guy bring out the knife. And his eyes went like that, you know? And then the guy put the knife down and he got up and walked out. And he just couldn't believe that happened. That he just put it down and had just walked out. And that's the power of Christ. Only Jesus can calm somebody down like that who's in some kind of psychosis from a drug. And that's just a little bit of what happens at the mission and how Jesus changes lives there. There's also the Caris Center, where we have recovery programs for women as well. And right now, there's about 22 women who are in that program. And the Lord's doing amazing things over there as well. They have a different dynamic than us. You know, the guys have certain needs and the ladies have certain needs as well, and they can bring their children with them into that program. And so they've got the chaplains over there have a lot of work to do, because they don't only work with the women, they work with their children as well. And there are women who have come out of very abusive relationships where they've been exploited sometimes. A lot of bad things have happened to them, and they come in angry and bitter, and they have a hard time staying. They have a hard time trusting, but they don't want to go back out there again because they know that so-and-so might be waiting for them. But they're able to find peace as well through the counseling, through the Word of God being put into them, and the praying. They're able to find peace. Every now and then you have a little one, their little child that's with them, and they'll say something like, Mommy, how come you're so different now? You used to be so mad. Now you're not. What happened? And this chaplain told me she had tears in her eyes because her mom said, I met Jesus. That's what happened. So at the Caris Center, at the mission, we see all of these things happening. There's the Family Life Center on Main Street where people in rough neighborhoods, the ladies can come with their children, usually single moms. They'll come to the Family Life Center and they'll be able to spend time with godly women. We have ladies there who've done ministry work for a long time, and they're able to mentor these young women and spend time with them. They're able to be in a place where there's no violence. They know they're not going to be hurt. They know that their children are going to be safe. And so while the children are playing in the basement area being looked after, they can spend time doing the sewing and all the other stuff that the ladies teach them when they're there, but also praying with them and sharing the Word of God with them. And we have people who come into the school as well. We have a school for children who come from poor families. And we look after them. We teach them elementary school, and we teach them about the Word of God as well. We teach them about Jesus, not just reading, writing, and arithmetic. They learn about Jesus as well. And we see little ones going from having nerve problems, having violent problems, to being peaceful, sweet kids, because they've learned that they're loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And just knowing that they're loved makes a big difference in their life. And then we also have the adult education program. We have guys in our recovery program who, once they have self-worth again, they realize that if they're worthy of being loved by Jesus, if they're worthy of being loved by the King of Kings, then they're worth something. And then they start thinking about going and getting their grade 12, going to university and doing something with their life, because they realize that they're not worthless. They realize that they can do something for other people's lives as well. And then every now and then we have them give a testimony in chapel. And they're talking about how their lives have changed, and there's people out there in the crowd who knew what they were like before. And they're just shocked that this guy's up there talking about Jesus and how he's changed them. That has a big effect on the community, the inner city, when that happens. Marcel, who I was telling you about before, there are gang members who will come to the mission, and they'll see Marcel. And at first, they'll just do a double take, because Marcel used to be a very violent guy. He was one of the enforcers for the Manitoba Warriors, so they just kind of freeze for a minute. And then they realize that he's totally different. He's totally changed. He's not full of hate and anger anymore. He's at peace. And we've had four guys come to the mission who are in gangs, and they left the gangs because of the peace that Marcel has. They wanted it too. They didn't want to live that way anymore. They figure if Marcel, the way he was, if he could be changed, if he could find that peace, then maybe I can too. And so that's just some of the work that happens at Union Gospel Mission, how we help people. We're having to, in the wintertime, open up our doors longer, stay later, and use it as a warming center for people. Because you'll see some of the street people in the wintertime, and it's just unbelievable. They'll just have a jacket on, and it's minus 40 wind chill. And they're outside smoking, and their hands are just bright red. And their face is bright red. And somehow they're used to it. So we bring them in to the mission, into the warming center. And that's our way of they want to stay there and get warm. So it's our opportunity to tell them about the gospel. They got to stay and listen. They don't want to go back out into minus 40, right? So that's our little sneaky way of getting the gospel into them. But there's all kinds of things that we see Jesus doing at the mission that's really encouraging. And I want to share with you a passage that has been powerful for a lot of people who've come to the mission for the drug, to get in the drug rehab program, but also to find some hope in their life as well. And it's found in Psalm 73. And in Psalm 73, what they like about that one so much, well, I'll just read it for you. It starts in verse 21. A lot of the people who come to the mission into the recovery program, who come in off the street, they're angry and they're bitter. If God exists, they hate him because their life has been so hard. And then you read this passage to them, and they realize that God has been with them all along. In Psalm 73, starting at verse 21, it says, "When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast towards you, my Lord. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And that one verse in there is really powerful. "And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you." I've seen it again and again, how the Lord will take somebody who's so addicted, and they no longer desire the high. They no longer desire the drug or getting drunk. They no longer desire that. What they desire is that peace and hope that they found in Christ. And so this passage has spoken to a lot of people at the mission. They just seem to really like this one, because it speaks to the anger and bitterness that they had when they first encountered Christ, and how he was able to show them that he was with them. Time and time again, I have people say to me, "I should have died a long time ago. The life I led in the gangs, the things I did, I should have died a long time ago. I know now that the Lord kept me alive so that I could know him, and so that I can tell others about him." And so Psalm 73, in verse 23, it says, despite all that anger, despite everything they've gone through, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand." And that "nevertheless," despite all that, that "nevertheless" comes because of what Jesus did for them on the cross. Nevertheless, despite all that, Jesus still died for you on the cross, and you can still find life and hope and peace in him, because he rose from the dead and he gave you peace. Now, the old preacher, he said, I'd read shorter sermons, but once I get started, I get too lazy to stop. So I think I'll end it there. And I know that a number of you come to the mission to help us and support us. And it's a real blessing for us when you do that. We need all the help we can get. We planted a flag for the gospel in one of the darkest places in Winnipeg. And Satan, who's a very real being, he hates that. And he throws everything, including the kitchen sink, at us sometimes. And the more help we can get, the better. Keep us in your prayers. And may the Lord bless you for being so good to us.